good afternoon, Juno. It's a couple seconds before 3 o'clock. Pat Moore, your host today for Juno Afternoon. Nice lineup of guests today. First thing will happen is we'll have National Native News, and then Alex Marvel and Kelly Moore will drop in to tell us about Saturday's travel fair at the Nugget Mall. Guest Michelle Elfers will be here to tell us about How to Become an Outdoors Woman program going on this weekend. Jetta Whitaker will fill us in on details of this Saturday's Women's Expo that you just heard a little bit about. And we'll meet the people behind Homer's Bear Creek Winery and the Thunder Mountain High School production of The Wizard of Oz. We'll get a little preview with some of the cast members here. We'll have Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more all today on KTOO's Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A newspaper in British Columbia, Canada, has apologized for running a letter to the editor that is being described as racist. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the letter was titled Educate First Nations to be Modern Citizens.
The letter, carried by the Nanaimo Daily News, accused Aboriginal people of being underachievers. It also questioned their place in Canada. Native leaders were quick to respond to what they claimed was clearly a racist letter. Here's Grand Chief Stuart Phillip of the Union of British Columbia Chiefs.
The publisher and owner needs to take responsibility and offer an unconditional apology and make a commitment to adhere to standards that don't allow for this to happen again.
A protest was also held outside the offices of the newspaper. Among the protesters, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Sean Atleo.
That letter, absolutely outrageous. The outside example of the deep disconnect, misunderstanding, and ignorance about First Nations peoples.
The newspaper's publisher has since apologized, saying the letter should not have run. Hugh Nicholson emphasizes that the views in the letter are those of the writer, and not of the paper. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Today is World Autism Awareness Day, and a Northern Plains landmark is commemorating the day in a special evening ceremony. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
A Lakota woman who is the mother of twins with autism gave officials at Crazy Horse Monument the idea of raising awareness of the disorder. Tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Mountain Time, the sculpture near Custer, South Dakota, will be bathed in blue light. Blue is the official color of autism spectrum disorders. For those 3 hours, visitors may attend the Crazy Horse Monument at no charge. Donations of cash or non-perishable food are welcome, with those going to local food pantries. The Crazy Horse Monument has been a work in progress since the 1940s. When completed, it will depict the Sioux warrior on horseback. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
U.S. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski is holding a public meeting on subsistence. Today's session in Bethel, Alaska is an opportunity for people to give input on cultural and food security issues. Their testimonies will be taken back to Congress. At the 2012 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, Murkowski said she'd facilitate congressional hearings on subsistence. Bethel's meeting is the first of two events before a full committee hearing on subsistence in Congress this fall. Murkowski says it's important to hear from as many rural Alaskans as possible, adding that many will not have the opportunity of attending the hearing in Washington, D.C. The event will be streamed online. Comments can also be submitted through the senator's website at murkowski.senate.gov. The film Kind-Hearted Woman premieres on PBS this week. The first part of the documentary aired Monday. It features Robin Charbonneau, who now goes by Robin Poorbear. Filmmaker David Sutherland followed Robin for 3 years as she raised her 2 children, furthered her education, and started to speak publicly about sexual abuse. On the talk show Native America Calling, Poorbear had this to say about being part of the project.
At first, I was terrified. You know, I'm going to hear a complete stranger I'm going to share my life with, you know, and then I did it. It's just like I puked everything out. You know, my whole life story, just threw it all out there. Here it is, you know, and we kept in contact through email, emailed him one of my poems, Standing Proud and Standing Tall, and later on, he told me that I want you as one of my subjects.
Part 2 airs tonight on PBS stations nationwide. On this day in 2012, the American Indian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota launched an online tribal language dictionary. The Ojibwe People's Dictionary provides words, context, pictures, and audio clips. Ojibwe is an endangered language. The website is a tool in revitalization efforts. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
About 5 minutes and 40 seconds after 3 o'clock, you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. A little look at the weather here. If you're looking outside right now, you'll notice that maybe it's stopped for the moment, or maybe wherever you are, it's still doing it. But what we've got is scattered rain and snow showers, little pockets of it all over town and all over the area. The highs probably go up to about 42 today with light winds. And then tonight it'll be mostly cloudy. Those scattered snow showers will mix with rain this in the evening, and then we'll have lows around 30. East winds 5 miles per hour. Those will shift to north late. And then Wednesday, we're looking at mostly cloudy with isolated rain showers in the morning. And then guess what? Wednesday, partly cloudy. Thursday, locally windy, highs around 39 and sunny. Sunny. I remember that word. I'm familiar with that phrase and concept. So are the people who are here with me in the studio. With me are Alex Marvel and Kelly Moore, and they are putting on this year's Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau kind of open house travel fair at Nugget Mall. This is a really great chance for people in Juneau to come in contact with our own tourist trade, and I guess Absolutely. They get a discount out of the whole deal, too. And then Kelly's here to talk about the volunteer program as well.
I am.
So tell us about Saturday's event.
Well, it's going to be this Saturday, so at the Nugget Mall from 10 to 2, and we have about 30 folks coming out representing different tourism operations here in town, and it's really about kind of, as a Junoite, looking into your own backyard and figuring out, okay, what do we got going on here? Now, you see, you know, whale-watching boats all the time, you hear the helicopters going overhead, but do you really know what these operations are really all about? Do you know what they're offering? That's the kind of the whole mentality behind this, was getting out these operators and having them, you know, come out and show what they got to Juneau and to the fine Junoites that I'm sure are tuning in right now.
So if I show up, then I will wander through the center of Nugget Mall, and there are these 30 tables there, and these folks will be showing me what the tours are. And I'm wondering now, if I want to do some of this stuff when I have a guest coming in, or maybe just myself and like that, are some of the exhibitors going to be offering Juneau-priced packages?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the main fun things about this, is that it's kind of a way that these guys are giving back, you know, to Juneau and to the folks of the community. And they're saying, listen, you know, we have these local prices, we have these discounted products here that we're going to give you. And, you know, come out and see what we're all about. You know, let's not make it just for our visitors, which we love. Let's make it an Alaskan thing.
Somebody was on the show, somebody, an out-of-town visitor, said they'd been up to Glacier Bay and looked at me across from the microphone on the other side of the board and said, have you been to Glacier Bay? And I thought, no, I've only lived here 8 years. Why would I have gone to Glacier Bay?
Exactly.
So maybe there's a Glacier Bay tour package. Kelly, tell me about the volunteer program that you're
Well, every year we have four welcome centers that are open during the summer season. We have two downtown. We have one at the airport, which is open year-round, and then we have one at the ferry terminal. And they're fully staffed by volunteers. We do have a couple of seasonal staff, people who help out. But without our volunteers, we would not be able to serve all the visitors who come through our centers. Last year, we had nearly 160,000 people stop in and ask questions from, how do I get to the Mendenhall Glacier, to where's an ATM, to I've lost my camera, how can I find it, to where's the bathroom? So what our volunteers do is help people. They are very service-oriented, they're very helpful, and they participate in things with the tour operators to get to know their businesses better. And so they actually get to look at it from a visitor perspective.
So if I were interested in volunteering, what kind of time commitment are you looking for?
Generally, we'll ask for 3 hours a week, but I know there are a lot of working adults, and so they can only do weekends, and they don't want to do every weekend. So I'm very flexible with schedules. We do ask a minimum of 6 hours a month, and or 3 shifts, depending on where you are. All the shifts are pretty flexible. The ones in the downtown areas are 3-hour shifts from 8 to 5, and then the airport and the ferry terminals are scheduled based on flight arrivals and ferry arrivals.
So now, when a cruise ship hits town, it's here for about 11 hours, I think,
mm-hmm.
rough numbers, just
mm-hmm.
basically between a couple of tide cycles. So I'm wondering, you said 8 to 5. That means that there's probably a 3-hour shot there on some days when the facility isn't manned. Do you have a desire to man it longer than
we
that?
We do keep our cruise ship terminal welcome center open 7 days a week all summer long. And that is because not only do we have cruise ship visitors, but we also have independent travelers who need information as
yeah.
well. And whether we assist one person or 100 people, they're still welcome to our city, and we want them to feel that way. Because when they leave here, they go back home and they tell everybody how wonderful it was to come to Juneau and what it meant to be treated so well. And that welcome center was open and I was the only one they served. But boy, did I feel special because of that.
Mm-hmm. And it really helps make the whole experience something that
exactly.
People treasure.
Exactly, because it's not about, with volunteering, it's not about us. It's about the experience that we can bring to someone else. Similar to if you go to another town and you're looking for information, it's about you then, and you want to be served. And so it's the same principle.
Right, right. Alex, I wanted to ask, it just occurred to me, are you locked up for Saturday, or is it possible if someone is just hearing about this now or has been kind of sitting thinking, to get in on that, can they still get in?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a few tables left, but only a few. I'm thinking 4 right off the top of my head. I was just looking at that piece of paper, too. 4, maybe 5, but I'll tell you what. We can definitely talk about
okay.
that.
We'll, okay. And how would they, if somebody is thinking, ooh, I should have done that, how would they get in on those, one of those?
Absolutely, yeah. Give me a call directly at my office phone. It's 523-3731.
Okay.
And, give me a call. Drop me a line if you want to. Alex.Marvel, M-A-R-V-E-L, just like the comics, at TravelJuneau.com. And we can work something out, absolutely.
All right. And then I wanted to ask you now, if mm-hmm. I'm excited about this volunteer opportunity, and 3 hours a week is just not that much.
No, actually.
6 hours a month, I could live with that kind
wonderful.
Of volunteer
thing. Wonderful. I expect your email any day now to come sign up.
So that was my question, is who would I send it to?
You can contact me by email, and you can do that through Kelly, Kelly.Moore, @TravelJuneau.com, or you can call me at 523-3732. And I am actively recruiting right now. We have all of our trainings coming up this month in the beginning of May, and our welcome centers will open May 2nd.
So all of your volunteers are involved in staffing the information areas.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I see people who are downtown doing traffic crossing guard work.
Who are those? Those are the crossing guards that are actually hired through the city, but the Bureau helps manage that. And so actually I will help train them to address some visitor information as well.
So when's the hiring?
That I don't know. That's through the city. I'm not really sure.
Interesting. I just wondered if anybody,
mm-hmm.
If somebody was interested in...
Well, I don't know that, but I sure can find out.
Yeah, I sure appreciate their existence because when the tourists come off the boat, it never seems to occur to most of the visitors to the city that we might drive cars. It comes as a big surprise that we're on the street as well.
You know, one of the things I've learned
they're looking up at the mountains.
Exactly. They're on vacation.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
you're on vacation, your brain is too. You know, you're just in the moment.
Yeah.
You are so excited to be somewhere. They're thrilled to come to Juneau. It's a bucket list location for them. And so the last thing they're thinking about is all the common sense things that one would have in mind when they're at home, like crossing
right.
in a crosswalk or looking both ways or anything. Because when one goes, 18 will go. And so having those crossing guards does make a difference.
The other question that I have, and I don't know if anybody's... I find myself downtown a lot during the tourist season, and I will be walking down the street doing something, and I will see someone, usually a couple, off of the boat, obviously, and they've got a map.
Oh,
and
yes.
They're looking at it, and they're turning it like this, trying to figure out where the streets are. And I find myself stopping and talking to them and like that. Is there, you guys would probably know the answer to this, is there someplace I could get my hands on kind of like a little mini guide for me
actually,
that would sort of let me know where those folks might want to go or what I could direct them to do?
Funny, you should ask. We actually are working on a program to train frontline service workers and people in the community who want to help like that, called All About Juno. And we do have a guide that we give to the downtown businesses for their staff that just has the basic things like where the bathrooms are, where the ATMs are, those kinds of questions, how to send a wire transfer, because a lot of crew members off the ships wire things back to their families in other countries. And so we are doing a training, we're preparing a training that anybody in Juneau can attend to answer those questions to help visitors have the greatest experience of their lives visiting our city.
Okay, good. Let's do the contact information one more time. If someone wants to get in on the business this Saturday, it's talk to Alex Marvel.
Yes, Alex Marvel, alex.marvel, M-A-R-V as in Victor, E-L, just like the comics, at traveljuno.com. Dial me right up at 523-3731.
And the hours for your event are 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at Nugget Mall. Come
this
out.
This Saturday,
walk through
absolutely.
Those 30 tables, pick up some discount fares, take advantage of the offers, and find out what's
what
for tourists.
What it's all about.
Why those helicopters are flying
absolutely.
Back and
absolutely.
And if you want to volunteer for the deal, who do you contact?
Contact Kelly Moore at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, .M-O-O-R-E, at traveljuno.com. And my number is 523-3732.
All right. Thank you so much for putting this information out for us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. Any guesses what we're hearing? No, not 100-pound frogs. They're birds. These deep, guttural sounds emanate from a nesting colony of double-crested cormorants, large black water birds with short legs and long necks. Look closely and you can see the bird's double crest. It's two long, gloriously feathered eyebrows. When not nesting, double-crested cormorants are a common sight near fresh and salt water. They often sit upright on a rock or piling, holding their wings out to the side, resembling a black Celtic cross. You might think that the birds are drying their wings, but double-crested cormorants occasionally hold their wings out while it's raining. And during courtship, they even wave their outstretched wings. But why do they have such a limited and guttural vocal range when many birds create glorious songs? Well, it has to do with the number of muscles a bird can use to govern its vocal organ, the syrinx. Many songbirds, for example, have 5 to 7 sets of these muscles. The more you have, the more elaborate the sound. The cormorant has only one. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
It's just about 18 and a half minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My next two guests are here to tell us about a wonderful program that I didn't realize was national. Michelle Elfers is here, and with her is Liz Clement, who went through the program last year. This is a program called Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Tell us about it.
Well, it's actually an international program. It's a little bit around the world, but there's programs throughout the country, too. And we've been doing it here in Southeast Alaska for about 5 years now. This is our fifth workshop we have. And it's a 3-day workshop, and it has classes in hunting, fishing, and outdoor skills. And they're designed for women, and they're geared towards beginners. And their hands-on approach to things like fly fishing and deer field dressing and map and compass and GPS, and we've got about 25 classes offered this year, and it's from May 17th through 19th at Echo Ranch in
Out the end of the road.
At the end of the road, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So now, hold it. Stop right there. Now, Liz, we can't actually do it easily on radio, but what we need here is the before and after picture, okay? So before you went through the program, you were...
Before I went through the program, I was Liz Clement, a woman who grew up hiking and loving the outdoors here in Southeast, but who wanted to learn how to do some new things.
And after the program, you are?
I'm Liz Clement, who went to the program and learned how to do a lot of new things and met a lot of really great women and men, both male and female instructors out there and some fantastic other participants. We spent the weekend together learning all sorts of things. I think Michelle's got a list of all the different types of classes that are offered, but they're so far-ranging, things that are hunting-oriented. There's kayaking. There are survival classes for basic survival skills. There was one I did last year called Taking Your Kids Outdoors, finding ways to make the outdoors more accessible and fun with your small to grown children. It was great.
So I have two questions then for Liz. The first one is, what was your favorite of all of these? Maybe that's not the word I'm looking for. What I want to know is, where did you find out stuff that you had never clued to? Where was there new information in the program?
Everywhere around me, honestly. I would say, and all the people who were there, instructors, but also participants. There was just all kinds of new information, and it was also accessible. And there was really a family, friend, and team atmosphere out at Ecker Ranch that weekend.
And then this question is really for both of you, and that is, the program is called Becoming an Outdoors Woman. How do you couch this kind of teaching and training so that it's oriented toward women?
Well, it's a very, I think Liz touched on it before, it's a very friendly, relaxed atmosphere. I know from my experience, I had wanted to learn how to hunt, and my husband didn't hunt, and a lot of our male friends hunted, but I didn't feel very comfortable going to them and saying, you know, can you teach me how to hunt? And so I went to this program about 6 years ago and took a class, and it was very hands-on. It was very beginner-oriented, and, you know, it was just a relaxed atmosphere where there was no ego involved. It was just, you know, this is how you do it, and we got to take a firearm safety class where there were guns, but all the components were taken out of them, so you couldn't fire them, you couldn't shoot them, it couldn't be an accident in any way, and so there was no fear involved, and it was just very easy and very fun, and we take that approach in all our classes. I mean, we have a chainsaw class, and, you know, how do you learn to use a chainsaw if you don't have someone in your family that knows how to use it, or you don't really want to learn from, you know, your partner or your spouse? And so there's people who just, you know, take you through the steps and make it really easy, and you're in a group of other women, so people are just trying to have a good time and learn the skill. So I think it's really about the atmosphere that we try and create, so it's a comfortable atmosphere for women.
Now, if you go out for the workshop, are you out there all 3 days? You don't come back during
You are, yep. Yeah. You go out Friday morning, you take one class in the afternoon on Friday, there's two on Saturday, and there's another one on Sunday. So there's four opportunities to take classes. And this year we're offering about 25 different classes. So, and then in the evening we have programs too, where we do this Saturday night, we do a round robin where you go around for about an hour and you learn quick little skills like how to tie boat knots or how to start a fire in the Southeast Alaskan forest, which, you know, is not an easy thing
not
to do.
Thing
no,
to
it's
do.
Not. So we do
not
these quick little skills.
Tank,
so, like, yeah. Like Liz said, there's really opportunities for learning throughout the weekend. And then we have campfires, you know, just fun times too, and social times too. So you get to know a lot of people, and it's a pretty fun weekend. It's actually happening a few weekends after Mother's Day, so it's a great opportunity for a gift for somebody. We have a lot of mother-daughter groups that come, or family groups, you know, aunts, cousins, and that's really fun too if you want. But you don't need to go with somebody you know, because people are pretty friendly.
All right, now I want a program called Becoming an Outdoors Man.
You can come. Men can come. They're designed for women, but we don't discriminate,
We
definitely encourage men to come.
There's got to be a limit. I mean, if you're at Echo Ranch, it'll only hold a certain number of people.
There is. I believe it's 80 this year. And actually, last year, We filled up within a couple weeks. It's been really popular program, so I would highly suggest signing up soon. The cost is $250 for the 3-day program that includes meals, lodging, and participation and transportation and participation, of course.
Oh, yeah, you take everybody out there. You don't have to get there.
Nope. We take them from a location in downtown Juneau or the Valley, and then we'll take you out to Echo Bay, and then we'll take you over to
the
Echo Ranch. So, yeah, but I would just recommend signing up soon. We had a really long waiting list last year. And
How do you do that?
Well, the best way to do it is to contact Sandy O'Brien at Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And her phone number is 465-6196. And her email, you can also email her, is Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, period, O-B-R-I-E-N, at alaska.gov. And she'll be able to give you registration forms and everything you need to sign up. And just one other quick note, I know we're running out of time, but this is put on by the Outdoor Heritage Foundation of Alaska and Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Do you have a website?
You know, we do. It's on the Fish and Game website. If you get on the Fish and Game website, you can search. And if you do a Google search for becoming an outdoors woman, it'll come up. It's a really long website, and I didn't bring it with me.
Yeah, okay,
a quick search will find it for you.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be out and about in the streets looking for sponsors and donations for a silent auction we do in the next few weeks. So if you're a merchant or someone, you might see us.
Yeah, at $250 a person for 3 days, you got to have some monetary support.
We try and keep the cost low so everyone can join in.
Right. Sounds like a wonderful thing. Liz, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to let you both go back to the outdoors, but I have appropriate music for your trip. I think I've got the right one. Let me see here.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. Let's try this one.
This morning, frozen nearly dead, so goddamn cold I couldn't get out of bed. As I lay there shivering, as cold as I could be, suddenly a revelation came to me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw, spend the winter with me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw, and all night long stoke her fire. I put a nap down at the co-op. I notice I'm a stump. I don't care if she's skinny and I don't care if she's plump. I don't care if she's pretty or ugly as sin. But if she's got a chainsaw, she can move right in. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. Spend the winter with me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. And all night long, I stoke her fire, yes. Kind of gentle, but we would never fight. If she went out with other guys, I wouldn't get uptight. She could just do her thing, I could just do mine. For her and me and that machine, we'd get along just fine. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. Spend the winter with me. I gotta find me.
About 28 minutes after 3 o'clock, if you want to find a woman with a chainsaw, you need to contact Sandy O'Brien at 465-6196. That's to enroll in the Becoming an Outdoors Woman course that's coming up May 17th to 19th. And you need to reserve in advance because they can only handle 80 people, and they fill up quick. So if you're interested in the program, you want to do that right away. My next guest is here to tell us about a program which is coming up Saturday, and that is the Women's Expo. It's at Centennial Hall, and Jetta Whitaker is here to tell us about that. Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
So, all about the thing.
Well, the Alaska Women's Expo will be in its fourth year this Saturday. We've switched from January to April this year, and we have an exciting lineup of entertainment and workshops and keynote speakers, and then all the vendors that are specific to women and their needs and their wants and desires. So it's really going to be a great day from 10 to 3 at Centennial Hall.
So give me a kind of a mini program. What all will women be offered?
In addition to all the vendor shopping opportunities, we will have different bits of entertainment on the main stage in the ballroom at Centennial Hall, including the East Ku'u dancers, the Juno JDHS drill team. Hopefully, we're having a little question about that. The Daughters of the New Moon, and then the Roller Girls. The Juno Roller Girls are going to do a demonstration on what roller derby is all about, hopefully.
All right.
And then we will have a couple main speakers. Abby Roja, who is the genius behind Abby's Kitchen. Everybody's heard of Abby's Kitchen, but who knows who Abby is? She's going to talk about what it's like to nurture a business in Juneau as a young woman and to be incredibly successful. And her mother is going to introduce her and talk about what it's like to nurture a young woman with a vision. And then at 1 o'clock, our keynote speaker, Joe Packham, will be presenting her vision on how to support women in their creative and entrepreneurial successes. It's very exciting. I found out about her in the Costco Connections magazine, the January issue, and she just sounded like the perfect fit to address Juno's creative and entrepreneurial woman. She's going to be
on the show Friday, I think.
She'll be on the show here on Friday. She's actually going to be doing, we're having a reception for her to welcome her to Juno Thursday at Rain Tree Quilting from 5 to 7. And then she will be at Costco signing her latest book. She's an author in addition to many other things. Her latest book is called Pieography. And the book signing will be at Costco from 5 to 7 on Friday night. And then she'll spend Saturday with us, and you can bring your Joe Packham materials and get her to autograph whatever you have on Saturday at the Alaska Women's Expo.
Good. I'm seeing a Zumba demonstration here.
Yeah, and then after Joe Packham, we have a fashion show featuring the spring line by Lisa Davidson's Boutique, a Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, and Shoefly. And then we almost close, with a big Zumba demonstration, and everybody should get up and dance and just make silly fools of ourselves and have fun. And then, in the other room down the hall at Centennial Hall in the Hammond Room, which is as close as you can get but still not be in the ballroom, I have four different mini workshops going on for people who are interested in. The first one is 10 Creative and Colorful Things to Do with a Vase by Tamara Green from Miss Scarlett's. The second thing will be What's Up with Sexting, done by Corey Stennett of Planned Parenthood, and she's put together a really informative curriculum on sexting, which seems innocuous but actually has huge ramifications for the rest of a young person's life. So it really behooves all mothers and fathers and teens to learn as much as they can about that. And then we'll follow with a home staging presentation by Stacy Goad of Alaska Premier Home Staging, how to show your home to its best advantage and hopefully guarantee an instant sale in the springtime. I know a lot of people start thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And then actually at 3:15, because she couldn't join us earlier, Dr. Heidi Cannoli with the UAS School of Management is going to present on an issue, Women's Ways of Leading. She's teaching a class right now, and the material is very interesting, and I think it'll lend itself to some really fascinating discussion and sharing.
She was on our show here, and we talked about that,
that
course when she was getting ready to offer it in the fall. Okay, this is exciting stuff.
It's a very full day.
I guess the question is, do you need tickets?
I'm so glad you asked, Pat. You can pick up your free ticket at Alaska USA anytime between now and then, or at the door when you enter Centennial Hall on Saturday. There will be tickets to pick up, and you put your name on the back with your contact information so you qualify for door prizes that will be drawn throughout the day. But we are so grateful to Alaska USA for underwriting the cost of admission for anyone who wants to come. And the other thing that I did not mention in the on the poster, because it was late-breaking news, is we will have free child care. So in the Egan Room, if you have children who are potty-trained, and you bring snacks for them to eat, because we're not going to provide snacks. Two local Girl Scout troops are going to provide free child care. They're actually fundraising to go on some jamboree-type trips over the summer, so if you were bring a little something for their tip jar, that would be much appreciated. But it'll really enhance what we can offer the women of Juneau. We heard that one inhibitor to coming was no child care, and so we made it happen, and I hope it works out in two-hour increments.
So, Jenna, this is the Women's Expo. What are you going to do if a guy shows up at the door?
Oh, we'll let him in, of course. Of course.
Okay, good enough. Starts at what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, and it runs...
It'll actually go till about 4 with that last presentation.
Okay.
And it is a fundraiser for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation, so We are one of the sponsors of the event in addition to Coeur Alaska, Raintree Quilting, and Alaska USA.
Outstanding. Hey, this is a great-sounding program. Really sounds interesting.
Well, there's a lot going on Saturday, but yeah. I hope people can make it a priority and hop from one event to the other.
I hope so, too. Okay, good enough.
Thank you so much
for filling us in.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2013. It's the birthday of Hans Christian Andersen, born in Odense, Denmark, 1805, son of an illiterate mother, a poor cobbler. He trained for the ballet, the stage, and the opera, but when all of that failed, he settled on becoming a poet. His first novel got him enough success he was able to afford to travel, which would become his lifelong passion. He left Denmark on 30 different trips, spending 20 years abroad, traveling as far as Constantinople. He was a fine promoter of himself, and he befriended practically everyone of importance in Europe, musicians and scientists, politicians, royalty, artists. He wrote 6 novels, several travel books, 35 plays, and 175 fairy tales, including The Little Mermaid, The Princess and the Pea, The Emperor's New Clothes, Thumbelina, The Ugly Duckling, and he remained forever true to his humble beginnings. He believed that status should be the right of everyone and not the privilege of the aristocracy. It's the birthday of Giacomo Casanova, born in Venice, 1725, the famous libertine. He was a compulsive gambler, restless man, earned a law degree. He was secretary to a cardinal in Rome. He joined the military, played violin in the theater, translated the Iliad, spied for the government, was a librarian, and seduced many women, which he wrote about in his 12-volume autobiography, The Story of My Life. It came to 3,500 pages. Casanova, who wrote, "I loved, I was loved, my health was good, I had a great deal of money, and I spent it, I was happy, and I confessed it to myself." And it's the birthday of the novelist Émile Zola, born in Paris, 1840, who tried to apply scientific principles of observation to writing fiction. Émile Zola, who said, "One forges one's style on the terrible anvil of daily deadlines. The artist is nothing without the gift, but the gift is nothing without work." Here's a poem for today by Stephen Dunn, Briefcases. 15 years ago, I found my father's in the family attic, so used the shoemaker had to repair it, and I kept it like love until it couldn't be kept anymore. Then my father-in-law died, and I got his, almost identical, just the wrong initials, embossed in gold. It's 40 years old, falling apart. Soon there'll be nothing that smells of father love and that difficulty of living with fathers. But I'd prefer a paper bag to those new briefcases made for men living fast forward, or those attaché cases that match your raincoat and spring open like a salute and a click of heels. I'm going to put an ad in the paper, wanted, old briefcase, accordion style. And I won't care whose father it belonged to, if it's brown and the divider keeps things on their proper side. Like an adoption, it's sure to feel natural before long. A son without a father, but with this one briefcase carrying a replica comfortably into the future. Something for an empty hand, sentimental the way keeping is sentimental for keepsake, with clarity and without tears. Briefcases, a poem by Stephen Dunn from his New and Selected Poems, 1974 to 1994, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, whose Reputation Defender Service is designed to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. Produced by Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's just about 20 minutes to 4. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. My next guests are here visiting from Homer. And with me are Bill and Dorothy Fry, who run a place in Homer called the Bear Creek Winery. And Keith Crocker is here from Specialty Imports. He is their local distributor, I guess. And they're here because of Clink, which is happening tonight at the Jack right across the street from KTOO. And I guess, Keith, you brought them up here as part of the basic show for Clink, is that?
Right, that's correct. We have a few distributors in from all over the country, some people from California, some people from Seattle, and these guys down from Homer. We're going to be showing off about 100 wines tonight at Clink. It starts at 5 until 7. There's still some tickets available. I think there's about 20 or 30 left. We're going to be showing off some great stuff.
Yeah. So Homer is not the wine capital of the Western universe.
Not yet.
Give us a little idea of how this came to be.
Yeah, I started making wine in the garage, and it just everyone loved it so much that we decided to turn pro. Yeah, what we do is we make country wines there. We make wines from rhubarb, raspberry, blueberry. We make them standalone. We also blend them together. Our strawberry rhubarb would be an example of that. It's really popular. We'll be pouring that tonight also. And then we also make grape wines that we buy the juice, ferment it there, because we can only sell what we ferment.
Uh-huh.
So we'll take, like, for example, a California white Zin, blend it with Alaskan blueberry and call it Blue Zin.
Blue Zin, yeah. Okay. I saw that on your website.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dorothy, when your kitchen was taken over and you kicked him out into the garage, as I understand it.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Didn't take long.
So then he said, well, okay, so we'll take everything out of the garage and put it in a shed and put the winery in the garage, and you put your foot down and said, no, we're going to build a lodge, right?
As he took over the kitchen counter and I kicked him into the garage and said, you know, you have to go down there because I just didn't have any more room for him up there and having teenagers and all of that going on. When he started this hobby, he made me a couple promises. One, I would never have to know anything about wine or making wine. Two, I would have all the wine that I could drink. And three, it was not going to cost a thing.
Win-win, right?
Well,
yeah. I'm liking that. Line on all three counts, right?
Exactly. The first thing that didn't cost anything was building the shed so that, you know, because it displaced everything that was in the garage.
The first thing that didn't cost anything.
And I do now have all the wine I can drink, but not near enough time.
Anyway, so you've got now, what, 30 employees, something like that?
We have a dozen.
A dozen, okay.
But we're very local. Part-time. We also support, we buy berries from anyone that will bring them, from a kid on a bicycle to a native corporation, and everybody in between. We have our labels are made right in Homer. Our bottles are made in the U.S., as are our corks, and we buy all of the local products that we can. We only source, you know, our fruit out, like for Canada or Oregon, when we absolutely run out.
And then you decided to go green with this thing, right?
Yep. We've kind of started that from the beginning, and you know, we're always looking to do things in a more eco-friendly way. And actually, when they came down to inspect us, there was a lot of things that we were already doing. And they said that we were a pretty unusual business. But we recycle our bottles. People will bring them back from as far as Fairbanks. They save them up over the years. Someone makes a trip down. They load up the back of the truck and bring us our bottles back. We reuse the corks. We make little keychains and give out to the customers that are there. Use biodegradable cleaning products. And we try to do everything we can to be as green as possible.
So when I walk past your booth at 5 o'clock, I want to seem very sophisticated about the wine that I ask you to pour for me.
You don't need to.
So what can I expect? You said Blue Zin you're going to pour.
We surprise a lot of people, almost everyone, because the anticipation when you come into our tasting room is that it's going to be syrupy and sweet. And we do have some sweeter wines, but they're not thick. We have dry wines, although there are none that are really Death Valley dry, but we do have a blueberry Merlot. We have a Chardonnay that's excellent because it's cut with rhubarb and it really smooths it out. So, and we have a winery our size. We should have about 6 wines behind the bar. We have well over 20, and we can't size them down because we like them all. But in that 20 wines, we'll find something for everybody.
Okay.
Something you like.
Cool.
It's not everything.
So Clink starts at 5 o'clock?
That's correct.
5 to 7, and it's next door over here in the Jack?
Exactly.
And I assume there's a little fee to get in the door.
Right? I believe it's $30, and it does go, all that money goes directly to the Arts and Culture Center and the Arts Council.
And, boy, they make good use of the donations they receive, I have to say that.
Yes,
okay, well, thank you very much for traveling up from Homer to see us.
Thanks. Yeah,
thanks glad
for
we could
us.
Give you some typical Juno weather, followed by a sun until Wednesday, if you're still around. So check it out.
We've been really enjoying Juno.
Okay, good enough. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
So my next guests are here from TMHS. Kristen Garreau has brought a part of the cast, a cast of thousands, of The Wizard of Oz, which is, I think we're starting to, we're opening this right away, aren't we?
We are. We're opening Friday.
Right. Opening Friday. Okay. And so with me in the studio are Laura Pilgrim, of the Wicked Witch of the West. Nika Denali is here. She's part of the company and is also the props manager. And Ryan Hicks, who plays both Uncle Henry when they're in Kansas and on the other side of the Oz curtain. He is the commander of the Flying Monkeys. Welcome.
Thank you.
Say something in Wicked Witch, please.
Oh, gosh. Like what?
Anything will do. Speak to your monkey.
Nico! Where is the commander of my Flying Monkeys?
He's got it. He's got it, too. Okay, I'd ask you to say something in company, but it might not work as well. So, one, why? Why'd you do The Wizard of Oz?
Well,
everybody's done it
because it's a great, fun show. Yeah, I haven't done it yet, so it was my turn to do it.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many are total in the cast of the Wizard?
Well, we've got cast, we've got crew, and we have a mostly like 99% student orchestra pit, and so total there are close to, I think, about 45 students who are involved in the production.
Wow.
So lots of kids. And
you really like to surround yourself with chaos.
I do like to surround myself with chaos, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, I as you seem to have survived.
Yes.
So far, you're looking healthy. And,
yeah.
Like it hasn't, the stress hasn't gotten too
right,
much.
Right, right. They haven't
still
gotten
smiling.
Me down yet. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when you're doing it, you're doing the musical version, right?
We are doing the musical version, yeah.
Okay, and so how are the voices?
The voices are great. We have a great set of leads. Our Dorothy is
has a beautiful voice, and yeah, people will just be blown away when they come hear it.
Who's the voice coach?
Tyree Peeney is our musical director. He's the music teacher out at Thunder Mountain.
All right.
And Barbara Jo Meyer, who's done lots of theater with kids, with Star, and things with Perseverance. She and some things with Northern Lights Junior Theater has done plays. She's the direct stage director. And Richie Adon is doing choreography. So there's great people who've been coaching along the way.
Yeah, you got a band? Or
we have the Pit. Brian Van Kirk is leading. He's our music, our band teacher.
All right.
He's leading the Pit. And there's like 20 kids down there in the Pit. So it's really, there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's great.
Yeah. Hey, how do you get in?
You come on Friday.
Okay.
And you can get your tickets in advance.
Okay.
And you can do that at Hearthside Books or online at the Jack or in person at the Jack or at the door.
Okay. I guess one of the questions I have is, how was it? How difficult was it becoming a monkey? Did you have to practice? Or
well, it was really funny because when I first was cast as a monkey, I was like, yes! And then we had to go on stage to practice these, and I was like, what do I do?
And I think Karen was born a monkey.
Yeah. You know, I got the ears and the face and the tail.
Yeah,
my tail's hiding.
Yeah, okay.
But as I just got in this, like, body position and, like, movement, and it's just, I just became Nico, and I was like, and I have, like, words, but not words, to where I communicate with, like, mumbling, where I'm like,
kind of like R2-D2.
Yeah.
Without the wheels. Yeah. The two of you have to become basically evil people, or evil monkeys, I guess, evil beings, okay? So yeah, I did this once. And there was a time when I played a really nasty guy in a musical, and I found it a wonderfully freeing experience. Did that happen to you? I mean, because most of us aren't evil at heart, but to be able to do things on the stage.
Yeah, it's really nice when you've had kind of a hard day at school and you're grumpy anyway, and you don't have to come in and be smiley. So, I don't know, it's been pretty fun for me because I don't sing particularly well, so being able to be in the musical and have a speaking part and put on this persona of an evil, just completely out of control kind of person, it has been really fun for me. It's been really great.
You and your little dog, too.
Yeah. That's like my favorite line. It's the best.
Isn't that wonderful? It's like you get to say that and nobody slaps you.
I think the best part is when all the munchkins scream. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Anyway, so props manager, we all know that it's a line on the program, but I don't know if anybody really knows what the props manager has to do.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
Like, it's stressful sometimes because you have to, like, know where everything is, and you have to make sure all of the actors know where everything is, too. Like, being able to collect everything within a certain amount of time, it could take a toll on you.
Yeah. So how do you, what do you do? Do you have an assistant who takes over when you have to go sing with the company?
Yeah.
Or do you just kind of step in off the side of the wings?
In the beginning, you know, I make sure I have everything taken care of, and then I have two people that are helping me do it during the actual show when I'm on stage, and it's helpful, like, to take and know that no matter where I am, they're there to help my watch my back.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And then as company, do you got any good songs?
I don't actually sing
at all. Okay. So you're just like a presence on the stage.
I'm a body.
A body, yeah. Okay. Oh, her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wait a minute, she's not here because I'm supposed to lean on her shoulder at this point.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Kristen, who's Dorothy?
Dorothy is Sarah Penrose.
Okay.
Who is a ninth grader at our school this year.
Right.
And the Tin Man is Andrew Rainey. And the Scarecrow is Tierney Shipley, and
I'm missing the Lion.
The Lion is Kieran Poulsen Edwards, who was last on stage with us as the lead in Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, okay.
Great.
You got a veteran crowd here.
I do have a veteran crowd. Lots of older kids and some younger kids too. It's a nice mix.
Yeah. Tell me a little about the staging.
What would you like to know?
Well, I mean, how did I staged this once? I'm wondering how you did it. How'd you set it up? I mean, you got to go from Kansas, and you got to have an onstage tornado.
Yes.
And then you have to have Oz, and
right.
It's got to be like about six different primary
right.
colors.
Yes,
if you did it like the movie, everything's in black and white in the first two scenes.
It's not quite
then...
like the movie, yeah. Everyone puts on their 3D glasses when we go to Oz.
Yeah, okay.
Next time, I'll do that.
Right.
We okay. have, it's a really colorful set. Oz is definitely full of color. All the parts of Oz, Munchkin Land, and when they're traveling through to the city, to the Emerald City, it's lots of color. Kansas is great. The students at the school in the art department helped create this beautiful backdrop that's Kansas. And it's just, it's a great thing to, the two worlds are very different, and you'll be able to see that.
I meant to ask also, who's the wizard?
Oh, the wizard is Savannah Carroll.
Okay. And
she's a great wizard.
How did you do her voice?
We've been playing around with that just today.
I tried uh-huh. to.
Yeah, Nico was trying that out this morning. We were doing some tech work.
So,
and there's some cool effects that are the...
Is it?
It's cool.
It shakes
really
the house.
Cool. It's literally like you can feel the floor move
you will
beneath
feel it.
You.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
This sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm liking it.
Video, there's slide images, there's great sound, great orchestra music, great singing.
How long are you running?
Friday, Saturday. Yeah,
right?
Two weekends, and we have a matinee on this first Saturday.
Okay.
And... that's at 2:00.
Yeah.
And all the other shows are at
Everything
7.
Everything else is at
so
7. Yeah.
This
okay.
Friday and Saturday, and next Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, I'm thinking tickets. What's the seating capacity
here? It's 400.
Okay.
So get your tickets you early.
Could, you
could
pack
we
that
could
place.
Pack the
yeah.
house. We
yeah.
have done it before.
Yeah, you've done it before. So anyway, so people need to get on this right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good enough. Well, I wish you really good luck. Break a wing, I guess is the appropriate phrase here for that. Let's go out with a little of the stuff. Huh? Here we go. Incidental music outside of the stuff from The Wizard of Oz has been provided today by Lisa Hilton with Larry Grenadier and Nasheet Waits off of a CD called Getaway. Kind of nice trio jazz there. Weather Bureau surprised us in the last couple seconds with an update on the forecast. They're saying mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers in the evening with scattered snow showers late. Patchy fog, lows around 30, variable winds, 10 miles per hour. Those will become light later. Wednesday, we're looking at mostly cloudy. Patchy early morning fog, highs around 42, light winds. Looking down here real quick, Thursday's going to be sunny. Thursday night's going to be mostly clear. Friday's going to be increasing clouds and like that. That sunny day on Thursday is going to be windy locally, and the high is probably up around 39 or so. So maybe it's time to put out the lawn chairs for a brief moment, but anchor them to the ground when you do. We are KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area in the valley and Auk Bay. We tune on K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, our signal clears up at 101.7 FM on K269 AO. And then when we get out of town, Gustavus can hear us on 88.1 MHz K201 AM. K220 BT serves Hoonah 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Straits, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS at 89.9. And in Juneau, you can always get us at GCI Cable Juneau Digital Channel 871, KRNN's on 872, KXLL's on 873, and we are online 24/7 at www.ktoo.org on the street. Mark Wheeler will host tomorrow. He's going to talk about the screening of Escape Fire. It's on Thursday with Aaron Michael from the Juneau Public Health Center. Darren Snyder will drop in to highlight the coming April Fowls Day, the second chicken seminar in Juneau. Red Cross in Alaska with guest Ernie Mueller. Amanda Compton and Thomas Fletcher will come in to talk about the Mudroom presentation tomorrow night. And we'll get the weekly update on Eagle Crest. That'll all happen on Juneau Afternoon tomorrow. Pat Moore, been your host today for Juneau Afternoon. Really enjoyed bringing you this panoply of guests. Taking advantage of some of those Saturday events. Stay tuned now for All Things Considered.